Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening burnt offerings. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for new moons, and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. It also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food, drink, and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua, with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his sons, and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God. The sons of Henadad, and their sons, and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the one foundation of his church, your fellow redeemed. What a joyous time this was. Dedication day. The foundation of the temple had been laid. And they held a special service of joy. Can this be the same people, the same Israelites, who 70 years earlier have been carried away into captivity? That exile, it seems, taught them a very valuable lesson. The remnant of those who returned to Israel and Jerusalem put first things first. Before the captivity, the Israelites had their priorities all mixed up. They lived for themselves. They lived only for this life. They did what they wanted to do. They rejected the Lord and his word, and instead followed after and worshipped the images and the idols of the nations round about them. But now we hear that this new generation of Israelites, the first thing they did when they got back to Jerusalem was build an altar in worship to the Lord God, Jehovah, the covenant God. This is the same God that brought them into captivity because of their rebellion, but the same God that also promised them freedom from all captivities because of the promised coming Messiah. We begin our text and said it was the seventh month of their religious calendar. That was the busiest month for an Old Testament Jew. For on the first day of that month was the Festival of Trumpets, which is also their New Year's Day according to their civil calendar. It's still celebrated today. It's called Rosh Hashanah. On the tenth day of that month was the Great Day of Atonement, the day when the high priest, for the only day in a year, would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the altar, the Ark of the Covenant. This, of course, they could not do because the temple had not been yet rebuilt. On the 15th of that month began the week-long celebration called the Festival of Tabernacles, or Festival of Booths, when the children of Israel would leave their homes and go out and live in tents or booths to commemorate the children of Israel's living in the wilderness for 40 years. This also was their fall harvest festival. It was a time of year where they had the most elaborate of their offerings. Sin offering, heave offering, there was a guilt offering, burnt offering, offering to the new moon, signifying a new month. The people were so excited and so thrilled, we're told, everyone willingly offered a free will offering to the Lord. Wow. Quite a difference. What an amazing turnaround. From a people who have been carried away into captivity because year after year after year after year they rejected, they despised the Lord and His Word. But this was a new beginning. A new start. Under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Jeshua, the Lord moved the hearts of the people to rejoice, to praise Him, and to begin the rebuilding of the temple. A new beginning, and a very exciting one. Sadly, only about 50,000 Israelites returned from Babylon, but 50,000 who wanted to return. Many of the Israelites had found that it was pretty comfortable living in Babylon. I'm sure there were some that became government employees, like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there was others who also liked that lifestyle, living in that heathen country of Babylon, and did not want to come back. But those who did wanted to return to the promised land because they wanted to return to the worship of the Lord Jehovah. And so the foundation was laid. As we begin study of this Old Testament book of Ezra, we're going to look at the first portion of Ezra's book, which tells us about the first part of the building process of the temple. Next Sunday, we're going to listen to Haggai, another prophet who tells us about the second phase of this building process. This first phase was filled with excitement and zeal and eagerness as willing hands and hearts gave their time and talents and energies and treasures to lay the foundation of this temple to the Lord. And the first thing they did, as we heard earlier, before they even started building the temple, was to build an altar. Give thanks to God, one, for setting them free, allowing them to come back to their homeland, and to give them the opportunity to build the house of God. Our text clearly tells us that this was not done by just a few. This was done by all the people. Zerubbabel, Jeshua, the priests, the Levites, and we're told all the people who had come out of captivity began to work with the Levites, who were 20 years older, as the overseers of this mammoth campaign. And when the foundation was finally laid, they held a celebration, a dedication. The priests in the temple, in their great apparel, blew trumpets. The Levites played the cymbals. They sang praises to God, and the people shouted a loud shout of praise to the Lord that could be heard afar off for all that God had done for them and through them. We also see in our text that there were some that weren't so happy, that weren't so excited. There were some old people, the old men and the old priests that were still alive, that had seen the temple prior to its destruction, who wailed loudly, shed tears. We're not told exactly why they shed tears. There's probably two reasons. One, they probably looked at the new temple and saw the small foundation was there, and they thought, this one is not going to be anywhere near as glorious, as grand, as beautiful, as ornate as the one that Solomon had built. That caused sadness. But possibly also shed tears because they realized it was because of their sins, of their rebellion, that caused this mess in the first place. That magnificent temple was destroyed, completely laid waste because of their sins. But others also rejoiced and praised God. And so, as you said, there was a loud cry between cheering and crying that was heard for many miles. As I was studying this text this week, I couldn't help but think of what we've been looking at this past year, the 50th anniversary of our synod, and the beginnings of so many congregations that make up our synod, the Church of the Lutheran Confession. Some of you, your parents, your grandparents, were also held in a captivity. A captivity to an organization that had fallen into false teaching. Reading from chapter 11 of Pastor David Lau's book, Out of Necessity, A History of the Church of the Lutheran Confession, we see that these newly formed congregations in our synod also had a start like the Israelites. They had to rebuild. Many of them left their former congregations. The congregation didn't leave. They were leaving and they were all alone. And so they gathered together as individuals, and they had to lay a foundation. What was the first thing they did? Well, they didn't really build an altar, but they found a place to worship the Lord. And so in that history book, we find that some of these congregations, small little groups, worshipped in homes, in basements, in a bank, in a lobby, in a YMCA, red halls, an armory, a funeral chapel, a theater, and school auditoriums. Eventually, land was purchased, parsonages, churches were built. No doubt, many who had come out of the former fellowship, when they saw these simple churches being built, were touched with a little bit of sadness too. They look back to the larger churches that they came from, the bigger buildings, the grander edifices, and they saw these smaller little chapels and churches being built. Yet there was joy and there was rejoicing in the hearts of the people. And just like the Israelites, most everyone pitched in to help, clearing the land, helping build, shingle, hang drywall, paint, level the ground, seed the ground. And when these churches were built, there was also dedications where they sang praises to the Lord and glorified His name, singing, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." How was all this accomplished? It's because the foundation was Jesus Christ and His Word. The Israelites rejoiced when they had laid that foundation of the new temple. But that foundation, their real foundation, was in the Lord Jehovah and the promises of the Old Testament that point ahead to the Messiah who was to come to set them free from sin and death and hell. So what they were really doing was preparing for that glorious moment in time when the Christ would come, born of the Virgin, born of the law, to save every single sinner in the world. Our congregation's foundation is the same. It's Jesus Christ. The only difference is, it is the fulfillment. We proclaim the fulfillment. Our church is not built upon wood or cement. It's not built upon me as pastor. No, you, the church leaders or church officers, or you, the members. It's built upon Jesus Christ. And Him crucified and risen again in the glorious, infallible, unchangeable, powerful Word of our God. It was that Word that led our fathers and each of us out of the darkness of sin and unbelief into the light of the gospel, message of salvation, to see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who suffered and died for us and rose again. It was that Word that led many of you to come before the Lord's altar and make your promise of faithfulness until death through the power of the Holy Spirit in your confirmation vows. It was that Word that this morning let us all confess our sins. And it's that Word to lead us in a few moments to come before the Lord's altar here to receive Christ's body and blood in and with the bread and wine for the assurance of our forgiveness. And it's that same Word that has led you over the years to give your time and your talents and your treasures and energies to serve the Lord in this congregation. And it's that same Word that will continue to motivate you and me to give of our time to do what God has called us to do, to serve others, to spread the gospel, to build and restore, to preach and teach, to sing and pray, to visit and care for, to give offerings of our hearts and our hands in praise to the Lord and for the welfare of His people. It's now 38 years since this congregation, Peace of Christ, has been founded. It was founded by the Holy Spirit upon Jesus Christ and His Word. Therefore, we need to ask ourselves some questions. We need to ask ourselves, is there that same kind of zeal and eagerness as 38 years ago? Is there that same kind of freshness and joy in our worship? Is it that same kind of oneness where we're all chipped together, loving one another, serving each other, caring for each other, living for each other and for the Lord, even as Jesus Christ lived and died for each of us? Only you can answer that question for yourself. Next Sunday, we're going to find out what happened with the Israelites' zeal and their eagerness as they continued with their building process. But if after examining our own lives, we see that something's been lost, that our zeal, our eagerness, our desire to serve the Lord has somewhat eroded since we were first brought to faith or made our confession and our vows, then we pray that the words of this text and the words of our Savior encourage and renew each of us to rededicate ourselves to our Savior's mission of serving others, bringing the gospel message of salvation to all people, deepening our own understanding of God's Word in our study of God's Word in Bible class, in Sunday school, in our own personal devotions, and also in truly being one with each other. Loving each other, caring for each other, and serving one another. the Lord, through His Word, who founded this congregation, Peace Through Christ. It was our forefathers of this congregation who laid that foundation for us. We pray that we'll continue to proclaim only one foundation for this congregation, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again for all of mankind. A free gift of forgiveness, everlasting life and salvation given to us in His Word. And then we too can raise our hearts and voices in shouts of praise and joy, loudly singing so the whole neighborhood can hear. Oh, give thanks with hearts and hands and voices to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures throughout every generation, forever and ever. Amen.